Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Katie F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, July 31st, 2024, and today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 36, the first paragraph, Yet He Got Drunk Again, through one paragraph ending with, Decided to Have Another Glass of Milk. Comments on that one paragraph. Today's readers are, and thank you for your service, for the 12 Steps, Toby K., 12 Traditions, Susan G., reading the text are Pete B. and Vanessa G., and our backup is Heidi B. The newcomer greeter is Tony B., and the host of the second hour is Leah S. The reference numbers for Tuesday, July 30th, 2024, for the 7 a.m. is 21613, and for the 10 a.m. is 21614. That's 21614. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose. To carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Toby K. to read the 12 steps.
Hi, this is Toby K. from Long Island, New York. 12 steps. 1. We are admitted we were powerless over compulsive overeating, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to all compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you, Toby. I will now ask Susan G. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Susan G. in Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain a personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Susan. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your sharing to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topics. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 36, the first paragraph, Yet He Got Drunk Again, through one paragraph ending with Decided to Have Another Glass of Milk, commenting on that one paragraph only. And I will ask Pete B. to begin reading.
Thanks, Katie. Yet he got drunk again. We asked him to tell us exactly how it happened, and this is his story. I came to work on Tuesday morning. I remember I felt irritated that I had to be a salesman for a concern I once owned. I had a few words with the boss, but nothing serious. Then I decided to drive into the country to see one of my prospects for a car. On the way, I felt hungry, so I stopped at a roadside place where they have a bar. I had no intention of drinking. I just thought I would get a sandwich. I also had the notion that I might find a customer for a car at this place, which was familiar, for I had been going to it for years. I had eaten there many times during the month. I was sober. I sat down at a table and ordered a sandwich and a glass of milk. Still no thought of drinking. I ordered another sandwich and decided to have another glass. So my name is Pete. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy out of Pennsylvania. You know, this is one of those paragraphs, right? It comes right before one with in italics and right after the one about the, you know, fail to enlarge your spiritual life. And, you know, you got to think about, you know, what's going on here. And you know, if this time around is in our study is anything like, you know, the other times around, we're going to hear a lot about, you know, we're going to hear a lot about Jim and what he had and what he didn't do and what he must have been feeling and what he must have been thinking. And you know, like, man, I don't know. I'm in no position to make those kinds of assessments. You know, like, I mean, I don't know what, I don't, like, most of the time I don't even know what I'm thinking. You know, what I do know is what it sounds like to me is like Jim's a dude, he's trying to get sober. He learned a lot about alcoholism. And he's going through change. He's going through transition. And he's doing the best he can to try to, you know, rebuild his life. And yeah, he's got feelings and those feelings make him uncomfortable because change is hard. It's hard for everybody. Alcoholics, non-alcoholics, compulsive overeaters, non-compulsive overeaters. And we get fearful. We get resentful. You know, we start reevaluating all the things, you know, in our life and the decisions that we made and the places where we are. And it's uncomfortable. You know, could we say, well, Jim got a resentment, so therefore he drank, which is the next paragraph is going to tell us? Well, I guess, but could we say, well, he didn't do a 10-step or he didn't call his sponsor, he didn't have a plan? I guess you can blame it on that. But those would be explanations of alcoholism. What happened here? Jim drank because he's an alcoholic, or he goes to drink because he's an alcoholic. There's no explanation for it. The book calls it phenomena, right? It's just there. Could his emotions have been alleviated if he'd done certain things? Absolutely. Absolutely. There are practices that we have in place and these things, but that we do in order to alleviate some of these things. But the explanation, any explanation other than he's an alcoholic, is insufficient. You know, what the book says about resentment is that it's the number one offender, right? But it says it destroys more alcoholics than anything else, but it doesn't say it causes them to drink. It says, from it stem all forms of spiritual disease, for we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. Right? So the task is not to figure out how to balance these emotions and process these feelings. The challenge is, how am I
going
to grow spiritually? It says, when the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Pete. Okay, so we'll now open it up for other people to share on page 36, the first paragraph. Who would like to share? Press star 1 to unmute.
Lisa B.
Kelly F.
Alice W.
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Lisa Anne B. in
Colorado. Yeah, okay, I think there's two Lisa B's. Just 1 second, please. Yes. Okay, I have Lisa B., Kelly F., Lisa B. again, Alice, I didn't get your initial. There was someone else I missed, and now I think I
Anne Marie. Anne Marie M.
Toby W. from Boston.
Toby W.
Donna Q.
Nancy P. Donna. Nancy P. Okay, Donna who?
Donna Q.
Can you say that? I can't understand you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Donna Q. Like Dairy Queen.
Donna Q. Okay. Okay, let's stop there. I did think I missed someone, but maybe not. Hey, Lisa B. from Colorado, then Kelly S. and Lisa B. not from Colorado, I think South Carolina. Alice, Nancy P., Anne Marie M., Toby W., and Donna Q. Was there one person I missed that said their name early on? Okay, let's go with that. Go ahead, please, Lisa B., followed by Kelly S. Star 1.
Hi, is the first person Lisa B. from Colorado or the other Lisa B.?
Yes, from Colorado.
Okay, thank you. This is Lisa B. from Colorado, grateful recovering compulsive overeater, and grateful to be a part of this wonderful group. You know, my former sponsor shared with me and took me through this story as an example of turning points. And with each action and that Jim has taken, he had a choice to keep going. He had powerlessness, but at each turning point, he could have made a difference. He could have taken an action toward sobriety, and he didn't. Like, my sponsor has shown me how to recognize those turning points. I had a situation not long ago where I got upset with Verizon, and then that led me to putting an item on my grocery list that had it shouldn't have been on my grocery list. And then I got it resolved with Verizon at the store, and then I went grocery shopping and put that item in my shopping cart. And each of those steps were turning points where I could have called someone, I could have got centered, I could have, but I was powerless over this food item. And I didn't have that spiritual connection in those moments to use a tool. I just had amnesia and complete powerlessness, and I didn't even see the pattern. So it was a blind spot. But now I'm seeing and recognizing more and more these turning points and those people, places, things. You know, I had no business being in front of that food item at the grocery store. That was a place that I didn't belong, and which led to me eating off my food plan. I really love this story a lot, and I feel for this person, and I resonate with his story. I used to just have so much resentment, but I just shrugged it off as like, it's no big deal. And the next thing you know, relapse doesn't just occur out of the blue. It starts way before you actually pick up. And I've always found that to be the case. That's all I have. And I'm very grateful to be here. I'm blessed to be a part of this group. And
time, please.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone.
Okay. Thank you. Kelly S., you're up, followed by Lisa B., number two.
Hey. Good morning, guys. Thanks, Katie, for your service. This is Kelly S., recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I love Jim's story. And, you know, yesterday we talked about he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. And several people share that, you know, there's a bunch of components to that. There's not just one thing. You know, it's not just intensive work with others. It's not just, maintaining and working and growing in 10, 11, and 12. It's all of it. You know, as the opening reader said, you know, we have a spiritual malady. I have a spiritual malady. The book tells me that, you know, and like Jim in this thing, you know, I've always minimized everything. And yes, I got away and easily can still get away from 10, 11, and 12 because I'm like, it's not that big a deal. You know, it's stupid little stuff. You know, I used to say I live in an area with a lot of lakes. It's the minnows biting at my ankles that drive me crazy. And my sponsor says it's the pebbles in my shoe, right? And so I minimize those. And, you know, it's not my human emotions that drive me to eat, because a lot of people are emotional eaters, right? And you hear about it all the time on TV commercials. But, you know, those are the things that block me from my higher power. The problem is, you know, I have no power. I have no power over this compulsive overeating. And the book tells me I need power. So the emotions, these resentments, these fears, all these things, what reason I have to do these 10, 11, 12 is they block me, right? Intensive work with others. You know, I have to do this, yes, but I've done that too, where I get so into working with others, I'm not taking myself care of myself. But I can't just do prayer and meditation. It's all of this stuff, right? It's that spiritual malady. So this is why I have to continue these steps, all of these steps. You know, I have to be in 1, 2, and 3, 10, 11, and 12. I have to remember my powerlessness. I have to remember my connection with God. And I have to keep growing and doing 10, 11, and 12 because why? These things are blocking me from power. And without that, I have no power. And then I eventually pick up again because it's the only ease and comfort I know, but I have to seek ease and comfort in God. But if I'm blocked, how am I going to do that, right? And at some point, this book is telling me, you know, he's in this thing that says, you know, he had no intention of drinking. I can't tell you. I mean, yes, I've played in binges. I've played in binges many times, but then other times, all of a sudden, I'm back into it, and I'm like, what the hell happened? And I know I'm jumping ahead, but I feel like I need to read this paragraph. It's the very last paragraph in this novel about alcoholism. Once more, the alcoholic, the compulsive overeater, at certain times, has no effective mental defense against that first drink. Except in fewer cases, neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. That's why I do this work, so I can get unblocked, because I have got to get this power. And the only way to do it, I have found are these steps so I can get that relationship with God. And with that, I pass. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Kelly from Oklahoma. Lisa B. from South Carolina, you're up, followed by Alice.
Good morning, Katie. This is Lisa. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina, and I do spell my name L-E-S-A. Thank you, Pete, for your share. You know, I was thinking about that wonderful line and how it works where it says, but there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. And the longer I'm abstinent and recover, I realize that may you find him now. Every moment has got to be in the forefront of my mind. I really love the perspective that was presented on this paragraph, because it's a different perspective than what I've heard. And what I identify with is remembering who and what I am, and staying in my right size. You know, I'm always wanting to run the show. I'm always wanting to, I have to be on a short leash, you know, in this process of being recovered and getting recovered. I need to be on a short leash and not be thinking so much about my rights and my demands and what I want. It's thy will be done, not mine. And the longer I'm here, I realize that it just brings me to my knees on all new experiences. It's always about thy will be done, because when I'm trying to push my way, no matter how small it may start, that's what's going to eventually happen to me, like what happened with Jim. And it will usually be starting with the most small, insignificant thing. That's why I really can't minimize anything, and I'm always the queen of rationalizing and justifying. But what I got from this paragraph is the gratitude today of knowing, you know, this power, having this power. And each morning I pray, God, protect me from myself, because, you know, I am the cause of my own problems. Direct my thoughts, divorce my mind from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. Help me be free of this self-absorption and morbid reflection that I tend to go to. And, you know, I have to really follow the prescription and the recipe in this book, which is, how can I be useful and helpful to others? You know, and it's not about me. That's really what I got from this, just the gratitude. But also with that is pain, because it continues to be something that I can struggle with. Thank God the food is it's down. I don't have any white knuckling. I'm not, you know, wanting to eat and compulsively eat or restrict or compulsively exercise, but it's just surrender at depth on every level and realizing it's total dependence on God always. And sometimes that's painful, but I love this work, you know, and I'm just grateful for all of you. And I love outreach calls. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Lisa. Okay, Alice, you're up. Please tell us where you're from and the initial of your last name.
Hello there. I hope you can hear me. It's Alice W. from North Yorkshire in England. Can you okay?
Okay. I knew it was UK, but wasn't sure where. Okay, thank you, Alice W. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I just want to say I'm a recovered Alice W, recovered compulsive eater, and I just love this this bit about the milk in this story and my experience of that. I think for me, ultimately, I have to come to it from a place of utter surrender, because I kept relapsing, and then I thought, right, I've got it this time. And then they talk about a rock bottom with trap doors. And every time I thought I got it, you know, I hadn't. Anyway, I was just like, I think I was nearly through my steps. I was probably like step six. And I went to my parents' house. We were clearing out their farm. My mum had died. So there was a lot of disturbance around that with my family. And there was cereal there. Sorry to say foods, but those are one of my allergy foods. And I thought, well, it's okay, because it said no added sugar. And for some reason, it was just like the milk. It was just like, well, I'll have just one bowl, just one. And that's where it starts. And then before I knew it, I finished the whole box. And then I was driving to Boroughbridge to buy everything else. And then that was it. I was in another however long relapse. I hope for today, I hope that that was my last one, you know, but it was just, that's how easy it is. And I think it's just that utter surrender. And when he talks about irritable and discontent, for me, like, I want everyone to change, and people can be horrible. People can be what's it, you know, and I want them all to change so I can feel comfortable. But and I want everyone to change. And I think then if everyone changes, I'm not a compulsive eater, I'll be fine. But I'm still a compulsive eater. If everyone changes, I'm still a compulsive eater. If everyone does what I want, you know, and, you know, the food in that moment was the solution for me. And, you know, I make people a solution. But what I realize is there's not enough cereal. There's not enough thinness, being thin enough. There's not enough smoking cigarettes. There's not enough shopping. There's not enough of people, everyone doing what I want. Nothing ever, 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 ever is enough. And it really is that spiritual solution. And from utter surrender to even want to do any of these things. I mean, it says in the big book, why would you, you know, a lot of people wouldn't want to do it. Why, you know? And I had so much self-will that, well, I'll do this, but I'll just keep doing that. And the more I keep doing that thing, it's just keeping me and my disease away from God. And, you know, as with the solution being food, which did work. What happened that day is I wasn't able to help my brothers clear my farm. I was in a food coma. I just wanted to go to sleep. And I was just crying because I'd binged. And I just walked around crying and then eating more. And that's what happened. So I
couldn't
serve it. So I'm just really grateful to this meeting. I haven't shared for a while. I'm very grateful to all I have for this recovery, and it's a complete miracle. And just finish on this, that someone once said everything has to change, and everything does have to change for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice, from the UK. And Nancy P., you're up, followed by Anne-Marie M.
Hi, good morning. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. All the shares have been so amazing. Pete, great lead. Everybody, I don't even know what I can say except that I was thinking about it while I was listening, and I think that being in OA is like being in a diamond mine, that where there's tons of diamonds like hanging on trees, you don't even have to dig them out of the ground, they're just there for the picking. You know, you walk in, or I, you know, when I was ready to get better, I walked in and I stopped eating, so diamond number one, you know, and then I got a sponsor, diamond number two, and the diamonds got bigger and bigger and bigger. But, you know, I had been there before. You know, when I dialed into A Vision for You 6.5 years ago, I was delighted, you know, that I wasn't sobbing in my car over a box of donuts anymore. But I had been there before, you know, not sobbing in my car or whatever I had been doing that was awful and painful and terrible. So I knew that I was going to have to dip my toe in a little deeper. And I got a sponsor. I did what I was told, and I got better. Diamonds and more diamonds and more diamonds, like raining down on me, all these diamonds. But again, I had always picked up. I'd been in this program for a very long time. And why have I not picked up in the past 6.5 years? And why have, you know, I would say all of the relationships in my life been healed? Why is that? Not because I'm not eating. Because I'm still, as others have said, I'm still a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety, I might add. You know, like, I'm absolutely going to pick up again if I don't change. And, you know, I was thinking about all the things that, you know, people are saying, I have to do this, I have to do it all, I have to do, and I've said it myself, I have to do every single thing that I've learned to do in the beginning, today, and I have to do everything that I've learned since, every day. And, you know, it's a big list. I mean, you know, it's like cleaning up a huge 50-room house that's filled by a hoarder, and you have to clean it up in a weekend, you know. Like, that's what it feels like sometimes. And yet, my house is clean, you know, yet I haven't picked up. I just got back from my 8th or 9th trip to Europe with no trouble, same weight, you know, went here, there, and everywhere, did everything. Nothing held me back. And here I am. And how does that be? It's like I'm in this diamond mine, and, you know, go ahead, pick up all the diamonds, but it's much better to get to the source, you know, where the mine starts. And, you know, everybody knows me, or, you know, people who don't, you're about to hear it. The only thing that I can think of is forget about, I mean, try doing all this stuff and being an agnostic. You know, how about that? You know, I don't want to make myself worse than anybody else. But I tried for a long time to, like, turn it over and ask God for help, and I might as well have been talking to my cat. And, you know, when I finally was done, and
time, please.
What I was told, and it started with one place, the surrender, surrender, surrender. That's the source. Do it now. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. Anne Marie M. from South Carolina, you're up, followed by Toby W. from New York.
Good morning, Katie.
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, sorry, I forgot if I unmuted or not. This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina. gratefully recovered from compulsive overeating, and that was by doing the work in this book, following the steps in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I, you know, believe that, well, for me, that one sentence, I had a few words with the boss, nothing serious. You know, I usually, when I review this with sponsees, I have been saying, you know, this is the cause of his compulsive, you know, him picking up a drink. And now I'm going to say, I know that for me, that is the reason why I continue, you know, I kept on picking up. I know it. I would just stuff things down, stuff feelings down, handle things on my own. And it was self-reliance. I had no reliance on God because I didn't know I had a God within that I could rely on. Even though I knew that I could do a 10-step or I could call someone or I could pray, I very, very often would say, this is not a big deal. I know if I do a 10-step, I know what they're going to say. So I'll just say it to myself, you know, pray and focus on someone else, give someone else a call. And I really believe that that was, you know, the crux of my problem, self-reliance, no reliance on God. So I really like that sentence. I had a few words with the boss, but nothing serious. Of the whole story, I can identify with that. And then even yesterday, I had some really uneasy feelings of self-pity and some resentment and just feeling so sad. And I tried calling a few people after the fact. However, I wasn't able to get in touch with anyone. But during that time, I was praying to God, God, please remove this from me. Please remove this. And it would be removed, and then it would come back again, and it would be removed, and then it would come back again. And again, I tried to call someone and was unable to, so I went to prayer. And today, I know, you know, I'm doing my evening review this morning. I'm not quite finished with it, but I realized that I need to do a 10-step with someone and see, have them see something that maybe I don't see. So that's what the help I get when I do a 10-step. And I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Anne Marie. Toby W., you're up, followed by Donna Q., and then we'll take more shares on, let me just say where we are, in case you just joined us. We are on page 36, the first paragraph, yet he got drunk again, commenting on that one paragraph. Okay, Toby W., go ahead.
Good morning. This is Toby W. from Boston. You know, reading this paragraph, it's so easy for me to see all the little steps of his resentments. You know, it's so easy, but it's not easy for me to see steps of my resentments. And like the speaker before me, it was like, oh, that's not that important. I can handle this. I can handle that. And forgetting that there is a higher power. What I wanted to say and I didn't say is I'm grateful that I woke up abstinent today. And that's a miracle. that is a major, major miracle, because I ended up not only having the milk, but in the next paragraph, I picked up more than the milk because I could handle this and I could handle that. And I have to remember that there's a higher power, that there's a God that is special to me, and a God that I can turn to for guidance, for help, and also the gods with skin on that I could turn to instead of saying, I can handle this and I can handle that. I can't handle anything. I can't handle anything on my own. Nothing at all. And my body is not doing well physically. I'm in a lot of pain. And yet, that's what I focus on. That's what's going to be for the day. But instead today, with the help of God, I'm going to focus on recovery. I'm going to focus on having a God that's going to help me be able to stand and walk and be able to use a walker and be able to move around in my apartment in this assisted living place where I'm living right now. And I'm so grateful for all of you who've shared before me. You've given me lots of strength and hope. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Toby W. from Boston. Sorry, I had that wrong. Okay, Donna Q., you're up, and please let us know where you're from.
Hey, hi, guys. So good to be here. Donna Q. from St. Louis, Missouri. And by the grace of God, I've got almost 60 days of abstinence. And I'm so thankful to the spirit of abstinence for granting me this gift. I've been trying to get this my whole life, and all it took was me putting the fork down and surrendering a food plan to my sponsor. I identify with this guy because so many times I've tried to do this on my own, but at this point he was already way unemotionally abstinent because he didn't even call anyone. He didn't bring his own food to the restaurant, you know, to the bar. So he was already way gone before he got there, and I identify with him. So I can see every time I go through this big book, through these stories, I see me at different stages in my life. And I'm just really thankful that I have abstinence today. But that's all I have. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Okay, Donna Q. from Missouri. Okay, so who else would like to share, if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, who would like to share on page 36, the first paragraph?
Rizka R.
Okay, can you start over, please? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear anybody.
Rizka L.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's always harder the second go around for some reason. Tony B, Krista R, Krista R. Yes, please. Was there another Amy? Okay, was there anyone else I missed? Star one, I think people have been muted again. I did get Rivka. Okay. Okay, well, we have about 15. I'm sorry, say that again.
Trisha C.
Trisha C.
That's right.
C is in cat. Okay. Okay, let's stop there. I heard Sharice L., Tony B., Crystal R., Rivka R., Amy S., and Trisha C. Go ahead, please, Sharice, followed by Tony.
Okay.
Charisse, we can't hear you. We cannot
hear
you
now. It's Charisse.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much. Okay, so it's Charisse L. from Montreal. Happy to be here live with all of you. And it almost feels like what I'm going to say is so repetitious. I was thinking that if everyone shares the same thing on the lines all morning, every day, 365 days a year, then we are just proving what it says in the Big Book. We have recovered. Like, the Big Book says that. And
okay, we can't hear you.
Here now.
Okay, there you are.
I must be getting muted back and forth. I don't know, because I don't even know that I'm getting remuted. So I don't know where I left off. Did you hear anything?
Yes, we did. You were saying 300, if we hear this 365 days a year, then we are recovered.
Okay, so we're hearing the same message. Thank you. So if I get remuted again, then I just won't come back on. But God's way of showing if I should share or not. But what I feel like I want to share as well is the same thing that everyone else is sharing, that I can't minimize any of my feelings because they will keep resurfacing, and that will bring me, it will bring me to a place of dis-ease and discomfort. And what you know, I just had this on Friday. I woke up in such dis-ease, and I was in turmoil, and I was crying. I was emotional. I called my sponsor. I chatted with her. I prayed. And for a few hours, I was still in the same place of emotional turmoil. And finally, like around 1 p.m., I did a 10-step, and I just did it out with someone. I did everything that I was supposed to do, and then I made a service call, and I was a changed person for the rest of the day. And so sometimes talking about it doesn't help. Sometimes praying about it doesn't help. Sometimes I need to do the exact format, you know, outlined in the Big Book with the 10th step, right? Like it says, you know, steps 4 through 12. And that's my solution. It's just my solution. Sometimes I just need more than just praying to God. And, you know, being of service is huge, huge, huge for me. Like that step 12, without doing the step 12, I will never be able to think, you know, outside of myself, get outside of myself. And all of this, of course, is with God's aid. So I just want to share that. That's my experience as well. Like I cannot minimize, and doing the dues is what really gets me to the recovered place that of ease and comfort for the moment. And with that, I'll pass.
Time, please. Thank you. Thank you so much. Glad you could get back on. Okay, Tony B., you're up, followed by Crystal R. Star 1, Tony. Okay, go ahead, please, Crystal R. We'll circle back to Tony.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, good morning. This is Crystal R., recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. And for me, the most terrifying lines in this paragraph are, I had no intention of drinking. And the second one is, still no thought of drinking. That really scares me, and it just reminds me how frightening my disease is, that I can have every intention, I can make a solid decision, and I won't even realize when I'm changing my mind. I won't even realize I'm in danger of going against that decision. I think that's that really frightening aspect of the disease for me. Like I remember when I hit sort of my step one, it was actually, I was going to work and I was trying to get abstinence. It was early on in program, and I kept breaking my abstinence, you know, and
I remember realizing like today was like, okay, I'm going to do it today. I've packed my abstinent meal with me. I'm taking it to work. And I got to work, and right when I got in, my manager said, you know, we're actually going to be heading right over to this meeting. We're going to be there the whole day at this different office building. And at that office building was one of my favorite restaurants. And we never go to that office building for meetings. So obviously this was a sign from God that, you know, today's not the day to eat the abstinent meal. Obviously, I'll have that meal from that restaurant today, and then we'll deal with the abstinent meal tomorrow, because we never go to this building for the meeting. And all this is going on in my head. And as we're walking to the meeting, all that's going on in my head is, well, maybe I should have, yeah, you know, but I've got the abstinent meal. Maybe I should eat that. No, I think I'm going to eat the restaurant one. Like, it just went back and forth and back and forth. And finally, at the end of the day, I ended up eating my abstinent meal. I don't even know why. There was no fight or anything. It just was like, oh, whatever, I've got my meal, I'll eat it. And what really scared me at the end of the day when I looked back at that was I realized I was making a life or death decision, and I was doing it with such a nonchalance. It was like, I wonder, should I wear a pink sweater today or like a green sweater today? It was that kind of nonchalance, and I wasn't even realizing I was making a fatal decision. And that's what really scared me about this disease, because all my life, you know, I felt like my body had betrayed me in every single way that a body can betray a person. It couldn't walk. It couldn't go up a flight of stairs. It couldn't dance. It just got sick all the time. It just kept getting bigger and bigger every time I stuffed it. It was just my body had betrayed me, but my mind and me were solid. Like, we could solve world hunger if we wanted to. If I put my mind to it, I could do anything. And my step one was the moment when I realized that my mind will tell me false and fatal things, and I will just believe it without any fight whatsoever. It's like I have a severe peanut allergy, and everywhere I go, my mind will look at a peanut and be like, that's not a peanut. You can eat it. It's just a berry. And I will just believe it. And that's what made this disease so terrifying to me. And the moment that really sunk in, that I actually cannot believe the thoughts that come into my mind, was when I really got serious about program, because I realized if I can't trust my mind, thank you, and it will tell me fatal things, and I desperately need a power greater than me. I need something outside myself to save me. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Okay, thank you. And Tony B, are you back? Okay, well, maybe I didn't even hear Tony B. Okay, Rivka R., it's your turn, followed by Amy, I believe, F.
Good morning. Thanks, everyone, for your amazing shares. This is Rivka R., recovered compulsive eater in Baltimore. So something jumped out at me reading this morning, and I never realized it before. And that was this. I ordered a sandwich and a glass of milk. I ordered another sandwich and decided to have another glass of milk. I don't know if Jim was a classic compulsive overeater, but that's pretty much my experience as a compulsive overeater. Like, I think someone's unmuted. Okay. I mean, sometimes I did go out, you know, to have an intentional binge, you know, because I knew I couldn't get from one place to the other without eating a whole box of, you know, of something. But sometimes it was just like, okay, I'll just have like one bagel. And then it was another and another, another. I had no intention to eat four bagels, but like that was my experience. So I don't know if Jim ordered that other sandwich because he's put together upside down like me. Like, you know, when I start eating, I get hungrier and I want more and more and more. But it's just interesting that his suddenly, you know, having this great idea of putting the whiskey in the milk came after his second sandwich. I'm just putting it out there that it was just interesting that's okay. It's about connection and disconnection. Like, if either I'm connecting or I'm disconnecting, and that's my reality. Like, the connection with my higher power, with reality, with program, and is where I get sanity. And if I'm going to put myself in that disconnected place, I'm not going to have sanity. So with that, I pass. Have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you, Rivka. Okay, Amy S., you're up, followed by Tricia C.
Hi, this is Amy S. from New Jersey, compulsive overeater. My first time sharing at this meeting, so I apologize if I'm not as fluent as everyone else with recovery, because I'm relatively new and just kind of intimidated, but love all the recovery on the meeting, so I'm so grateful to be a part of it and to listen to everyone else's experience, strength, and hope. I'm coming off of relapse, and you know, can relate to the story in that you go in, you know, you go in some place or you have no you know, idea that you are going to binge, and next thing you know, you're in the food. It's happened to me multiple times where I get really, you know, some time under my belt, and the next thing I know, I'm in food again. Haven't been able to get any real long-term abstinence, maybe 3 months, 3.5 months. My longest since coming into the program a year ago. But it's just, this last one scared me to death because it was by far the worst in that it went on the longest. It went on a day and a half, which most of them are just a one-shot wonder, and then I can get right back on track. I say that, you know, not as wonder, sad, horrible, and I just felt so terrible. The amount of alcohol and food I consumed was just unbelievable to my system, not having not had them for a couple of months, and I felt so horrible, and it just was like, oh my God, how could I believe for 1 minute that I could have this food and be okay? You know, it's like the amnesia set in, the blank spot set in, and then I'm just so reminded that this disease is so progressive and so debilitating. And it has scared me and brought me to my knees. So I'm grateful that I took action the following day and immediately reached out to my old sponsor and asked her for help. And by the grace of God, she was willing to take me back on and take me through the steps. And I'm just so looking forward to doing what I need to do. And the biggest thing I need to do is to expand that spiritual connection. I know that's key. And then to continue to keep the blockages clear so that I can, you know, have that connection with God. So thank you for letting me share. Thank you, everyone, for your shares and for those who, you know, run the meeting. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Amy S. Okay, Tricia C., you'll be our last share today.
Okay, thanks so much. Thanks, everyone, for your service. My name is Tricia C., recovered in New Hampshire, and I loved all the shares. I think when I read this, you know, he got drunk again. And I think, I remember I felt irritated. Well, there have been many times I have felt incredibly irritated and even despondent, and I haven't picked up. And there have been times that I have felt not irritated, and I have picked up. So I don't know that it's the irritation that makes me pick up. What I do know is, as we talked about in the previous chapter, he failed to enlarge his spiritual life, right? Well, what is that? It's like a total displacement and rearrangement, right, of my emotions and attitudes. And it's the guiding force of my life. It, like, the guiding forces are so suddenly cast aside, and a completely new conception and motive begin to dominate me. I mean, that's what we're talking about. That's the thing. And so, it's a spiritual awakening. So do I think it's about the irritation in the moment? I probably don't. But then I think about, well, am I still self-focused? Am I still trying to get what I think I need and what I think I want? Is that the guiding force of my life? Am I thinking about myself all the time? A lot of times still, yes. But I know now that I have to stop and pray and ask God to remove that and then turn my thoughts to someone I can help. And then the other thing, am I still in self-reliance? Like I always say, am I still seeing the problem and throwing more Tricia at the problem, like throwing spaghetti at the wall, right? Like, okay, am I just thinking about the problem or the solution more? Like that is not going to get me anywhere. That is going to get me into a place of spiritual disconnection where I do want to pick up and have in the past. And so I know now it's about alignment. That's the proper use of our will, right? It's like what I can use my thoughts and my, I will go so far to say, is like ruminations and obsessions sometimes, is I can turn that toward God and someone I can help, even in the moment, because that's where I go naturally. Unfortunately, that's just my mind. And I'll tell you, if my mind is the problem, I mean, think about that. Everything in my entire life has to filter through my mind, has to pass through my mind. So if my mind filter is dirty, I mean, passing more thoughts through my mind is not going to help. I need a spiritual bypass. I need a spiritual cleaning of that filter. I think about it as like if the floor is really dirty, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's good. I'm going to pass there. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, but we're out of time. And so thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Wednesday, July 31st, 7 a.m. meeting is 21,618. That's 21618. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Vanessa G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, everybody. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. Thank you, Katie, for your service and everyone else who brought this wonderful meeting to me. This is our closing. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until